Good morning and welcome. Can't see Beverly. There's Beverly. I'm not going to hide on you. I'm really not. Good morning. And you're still looking. I think there's still a few more seats. Second row up there. So, yeah. And there's a few down here. So if you can find a seat, that would be great. Thank you all for coming. We're here, of course, to remember Don Layton, a husband, a dad. And if you've know anything about this family, a grandpa and a great-grandpa, and what a legacy. This is a great family. I'd like to start with prayer, though, if you bow with me. Lord God, as we come here this morning, we come with that swirl of emotions that comes with grief. We're saying goodbye to someone that means a lot to us, and yet, while we sorrow with that emotion, we have the hope offered you, Lord Jesus, of eternal life, and that we will see Don again. And so comfort us with that fact. And as we share this morning some memories, some comments, different things, you know, I'm sure there'll be a mixture of tears and laughter. Those of us who knew Don had a lot of laughter, and laughter is a great blessing. So as we remember, not just here during the service, but through the days and weeks to come, I pray your spirit will bring comfort and peace to Beverly and to the whole family, to his sisters. And as we share here now, I pray a couple things would happen. One, we would all feel like we have honored Don as he ought to be honored, and that we'll rejoice in the great hope we have, Lord Jesus, of seeing him again. So meet us right now with your presence. And I do pray this in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. I'm going to start with a couple of scriptures that I think do help us focus, and then we'll share some things. Some family members have written some things we're going to share. His grandson's going to come up and share with us as well. Before we go far, though, just I call it the business stuff. One, hopefully your phone is turned off. If not, we'll have the next 5 seconds of the chimes as the phone shut down. So we don't need a lot of phone calls during the service here. Next, to my right, your left, across the hall is a nursery, if you want to make use of that. And just outside of the nursery in the hallway is a bathroom, a handicap bathroom. Also, there's two bathrooms downstairs. There's a stairwell right off here, my right, your left. And then after the service, we'll be having the burial down here at the foot of the driveway. And I'll just remind you at the end, as many as possible, please walk down to the graveside. It would really be tough to try juggle the cars. But if you need to take a car, please feel free to do so. But walking, and then after the burial, we'll come back up, and in the building behind me, the fellowship hall, we'll have a chance to visit and have some lunch together. The Apostle Paul wrote, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God." David wrote, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows." Those are both expressions of blessings. "Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord." You know, some of you know the last word, forever. Donald Layton was born September 22, 1940, in Portland, Maine. He just had his 73rd birthday, and I know many of his family were there, and maybe some of you had a chance to visit him since then, because for his birthday in his bedroom, they installed a new ceiling fan. And this is not just any ceiling fan. It had the light in a fan like all ceiling fans do, but this was remote controlled. And Don loved that. He could turn it up, down, etc. The only problem was, for those over 6'3", how tall is Nate? Where's Nate? You got to watch your head. But I went in after his birthday for a visit, and I thought, what a neat idea. Was it his idea? Whose idea was it? It was his idea. If he had an idea, by the way, if he wanted it. But he loved his new remote-controlled ceiling fan and light, even though there's a reason Nate has short hair. Don was the fifth child of Mark and Corinna Bell Hicks Layton, but his older four siblings were girls, and two of them are here today. Two of them have gone to be with the Lord. But Arlene has told me how when they got their baby brother home, they began, for the next number of years, spoiling him rotten. Don, that never changed, did it? And Arlene was telling me just yesterday the clothes her mom made for him, and they just loved their baby brother. And having myself being a little younger than Don and knowing him in this, mostly in this last phase of his life, I got to tell you, it was neat seeing his relationship with his sisters. And I sometimes rode with him up to visit his sister when she was in a nursing home. And Don was a very caring person. Showed it in some neat and humorous ways, but he was a very caring person. Don married Beverly, and they've been married for over 41 years. Raised their 9 kids. And then, you know what happens when you have 9 kids? What happens? You have grandkids. 48 grandchildren, 31 great-grandchildren, and 1 great-great-grandchild. Where's our great-great? Just hi. And you know, for you grandkids and great-grandkids, you were special. He kept track of you. He knew what you were doing. He knew what you liked for gifts. He knew you all loved to ride with him on whatever was the vehicle of the moment. It said in the paper, when he returned from his journeys, he always had gifts for his many grandchildren that he'd found at flea markets and yard sales. He loved his kids. Don did different things vocationally. He owned and operated his own service station in Lisbon Falls. He worked at BIW. He loved hanging around the used car guys. And when I first really got acquainted with Don Layton, it was with Bobby Reynolds. Some of you remember Bobby Reynolds. He was a good friend as well. But it was dangerous. It probably literally, more literally than I thought. It was dangerous to be with Don and Bobby Reynolds because they were pranksters of the... Anyway, we can't talk about that here. I think there was a police officer that walked in. but they had a lot of good times. They knew how to have a good time. Some of the family members have written some tributes, and I want to share some of those, and then Justin's going to come up and share some more. And I'll say the name. I get confused sometimes which generation I'm referring to. I haven't learned you all yet, and to be honest with you, at my age, I never will. But I'll do my best. But Brianna writes, Grandpa, I love you, and I'm going to miss you for rides with you behind the four-wheeler in the trailer with all the other kids to go find blueberries. You always seem to know exactly where to find them. I remember bringing back buckets of them for Graham, well, even though only a small portion of them actually made it back. Rest easy, Grandpa. Kristen writes, I will miss Grandpa and the golf cart rides like everyone else. What I remember most, even though it was so long ago, was spending days with Graham and Grandpa and Nate and the smile always had when Graham was scolding one of us. Teresa wrote, I remember meeting Donnie when I was 8. He was putting siding on my parents' house. He used to sing, I'm not going to, you've got the cutest little baby face, but it'd be fun hearing a recording of Don singing. You've got the cutest little baby face to me. Little did I know I would be his daughter-in-law 20 years later. You will be missed. Esperanza wrote, I will miss Grandpa calling me Sarsaparilla. Kim wrote, I love coming home to the little gifts on my doorstep he left me and hearing his horn honk when I came out. Carissa wrote, he was always thinking of others and the little things he could do to make us smile. He liked to make us laugh. Sometimes it was via pranks, but he still liked to make us laugh. Cassandra wrote, I loved his laugh when he was watching the grandkids. All week, as I've done everyday things, I'd hear his laugh, and then I'd hear him talking like, get moving, you're going to be late. Or, don't throw the rest of that food away. He taught me to appreciate what I had. Granddaughter Lizzie wrote a little poem. Words don't come, but tears do. We're a little hurt because we miss you. Memories stay as you are laid to rest. We'll always remember you were the best. We know you'll be watching us from the sky, but we're not ready yet to say goodbye. How true it is. And I've got one more. There's still more, and you can go on the website. The Brackett Funeral Home is a website. You can share remembrances there as well, so please don't miss that. And you can see the pictures there as well that we've been showing before and after the service. Donna wrote, today as I say my goodbyes to my dad, it's so hard because he was so much more to me than that. He was my hero for fighting such a courageous battle for so many years with an illness that affected every aspect of his life. He was my best friend. We laughed, cried, fought, made up, and spent as much time together as we could. No matter what was going on with him or how bad he was feeling, I knew that he always had time to help me with whatever I needed. The last 7 months have been very hard on us, but if I had to do it all over again, I wouldn't change anything. It was my honor and privilege to take care of him because he has always taken such good care of me. The only thing I take comfort in is that I don't have to watch him struggle for every breath anymore because it gives such a feeling of helplessness. He got frustrated a lot, but he never complained. I know that the hole in my heart will never heal, and I will forever miss him and hearing him holler, hey, punk, I always will be his baby girl, as he told me, as he told so many people. I will love you forever, Daddy. Rest in peace, and I hope to see you again someday. Thank you for being such a positive influence in my life. And I think many of us could amen much of that. It's really good. Thank you. Well, Justin, if you'd be willing to come up. He's right here.
Hello. I also have some memories to read, and then we're going to sing a song. Bear with me, as Pastor Ron's mentioned, these are handwritten, so I'm going to try to work through them as best I can. Taylor writes, Grandpa, I'm going to miss our golf cart rides and going blueberry picking. You are such a loving and caring person. You are always there. I'll never forget my nickname you gave me, Trailer. I wish you were here to see Nicole to grow up. I love you. That's just from Katie. Papa, you raised an amazing man, Nathan. Nate loves you so much like a father. He looked up to you. You are his best friend. Thank you so much for everything you have done for our little family. I am very thankful for being a part of your family. Asa adored you and always will. We all know you're watching over everyone. Forever, always, we love you, Nathan, Asa, and Katie. This is from Matt. Grandpa, for my birthday, bought me a red bike, which Kim taught me to ride later that summer. I learned how to do burnouts and to fix the gravel driveway. Grandpa showed me how to rake it after I made brake marks. Carol and Tony say, we will miss you. We will miss your early phone call to Ma. You enjoyed the red roast beef sandwiches. The fish chowder you gave us was great. Rest in peace. Helen, Donnie brought Arlene to Melissa's house one Christmas as the little great nephew and nieces gathered around to give him a hug. He took out a bunch of dollar bills and handed them out. As always, he brought a whole lot of happiness to all those kids. This is from Arlene. I can remember Mama bringing Donnie home from the hospital. We were living in the Walnoff place in North Harpswell, and I was painting a window frame out back. I heard the news of their arrival and nearly broke my leg trying to get down the ladder so fast. From then on out, it was us four sisters, Merlin, Jeanette, Betty, and I, that had to decide who would take him for a ride in a carriage or change his diaper or just hold him or play with him. Yes, he had four nursemaids who all was so pleased with their job. Judy says, one of my favorite memories with my dad was when he would get home from work. I always loved to sit on his shoulders while he watched Merv Griffin on TV. Josiah says, I will miss being called Jose in the golf cart rides. This is from Dylan. Dylan says, I love you. I miss you. You don't have to go to the hospital anymore. Jesus loves you. And this is from Roberta. She says, I would like to thank everyone from the bottom of my heart that came to show respect and just for being here for the people they love. Also, although Donnie has gone to his resting place, he would want everyone to go on and live and do the things they love and enjoy. Remember, he also lost some people that he, some very dear people in his life, and he chose to continue to live and share life and love with his whole family, helping in any way he could. He would want you to remember the golf cart rides, the tractor rides, the driveway stops, and most importantly, the special memories that he gave to each and every one of you that you that you hold dear in your heart. And I actually have, my wife and I have a special memory, and we were trying to find the picture, and we couldn't. My wife and I were married 11 years ago, and we were married at Graham and Grandpa's house in Durham. Out under the, there's these two beautiful oak trees on his front yard, and so we were married out under there. And Grandpa, as his fashion was, noticed that Shelly was ready for the wedding, but she was at Donna's house. So he drove over in his golf cart and picked my beautiful bride up in her beautiful wedding dress and drove her over to our wedding. So she also got to enjoy one of the famous golf cart rides.
Justin. No, Nate's over here with the shade. Thank you, Justin. I want to share a couple memories, too, of Dawn. Dawn and I became friends, but I think, to be honest, it was on his initiative. I'm always running around trying to figure out what I'm supposed to do as pastor and whatever. But Dawn's one of these people that like to drive in your dooryard and talk. I can remember, because he changed cars so frequently, I wasn't sure who it was that was driving in, but he'd drive in the dooryard and talk. We got acquainted that way, and we did some rides, but one morning, I remember, he called me up. He goes, Ron, you home? And I went, yeah, I'm home. And he goes, you like motorcycles, don't you? I said, yeah, I like motorcycles. And he goes, well, I got a bike for you. That caught me off guard. I said, you have a bike for me? Yeah, yeah. I picked up a bike for you. I got a real good deal on it. I said, well, why don't you sell it? No, I got it for you. I got it for me. He said, you like Harleys? I said, yeah, they're out of my price bracket. He said, no, I got your Harley. I'm thinking, what is going on here? He had me going. You know, when you're fishing, you get them on the line, you reel them in. I got a Harley for you. I'm gonna bring it over. I said, you're going to ride it over? He said, no, I'm going to bring it over. I still didn't have a clue. And he says, one of the new models. You know what a V-Rod is? I said, yeah, they just come out. I got a V-Rod. I'm thinking, where did he get this? So sure enough, he comes driving in the yard. There's no trailer, no motorcycle. I'm thinking, what on earth is going on? And he gets out of the car, and he's going to come over here and see a new bike. What bike? He pulls out this model Harley V-Rod. And he played it up better than that. He goes, you should hear this thing. It sounds awesome. Well, it's got a little speaker on it. It's got a little recording of the motor. So when you, and it's got on the remote control, you rev it up and it makes the Harley sound, the whole thing. He says, here you go. It's safer than your other one. And I said, this is awesome. He said, oh, I picked it up. I thought of you. You needed to have a Harley. So it's downstairs in my office. And, last night for a while I was looking. I said, I know Lois came out and took a picture of me and my new Harley. I've got it somewhere, and I couldn't find it because I wanted it on the screen today. I'll find it. Don loved motorized vehicles, did he not? How many motorized vehicles did Don own in his lifetime? No one knows. No one knows. But I can remember him on various four-wheelers of some new, some not so new, come riding through my yard. Sometimes he'd have a friend or relative. Once he had Arlene on it, she was white as a sheet. But anyway, he came in our dooryard. Don knew the trails around here far better than I will ever know them. And I have a trail bike. I know them pretty well. But he knew every bump and root around the properties here. In one sense, all these woods were Don's woods. And when I was at the funeral home yesterday and they're playing the video, if you were in early, you saw the video playing. And they had the video of going through the woods. I said, there's Don going through the woods. He knew these woods. He loved the woods. He loved hunting. Loved being outdoors. He loved his adventure road trips. And a few years ago, I started mowing this front lawn. I don't know what got in my head, but I decided it would look nice if I mowed it. And so I've committed half of my life to mowing my lawn now. But I mow the lawn, but what's kind of fun is when I'm mowing, people will see me mowing, and then they'll pull over and stop and talk. Guess who would always stop and talk? And lately it was the White Mercury, the last one. But the White Mercury would stop, and there's Don. I'd inch my way down. What are you doing? He'd say, what are you doing? Mowing my lawn. And we'd chat. He'd say, we got to go for lunch again. Always wanted to go for lunch. We had some good times and some good lunches. Probably the most personal memory I had with Don was when I was visiting with him, I'm going to say about a month ago, at his home. And I think most of you are aware that since March, he basically has been on his back. He has not had the use, Don did not have the use of his legs. And this is a guy that loved to be mobile. I mean, he has had breathing issues for years, but all of a sudden, his mobility was stopped suddenly. Couldn't go out, rarely left his room in these 8 months. And I'd go in and visit, and we'd share, and we'd chat, and he'd want to know what the news were, and, you know, we'd talk about things, he'd ask me questions, and we'd have good visits. And then I'd pray for him at the end. We had some times we talked about spiritual things, we talked about being ready for heaven, even though I didn't, in a sense, want to bring that up. I wanted to bring it up. We talked about it before when he'd been in the hospital years back. I knew his heart was right with the Lord. But I prayed with him this particular time. I got all done praying. I'm standing beside him in his bed there. And I said, Don, anything else I should pray about when I go home? Because I would pray for him after I go home every day, too. Pray for his family. He looked at me and he squeezed my hand. He said, yeah, that I would walk again. Pray that I would walk again. Yeah, not like that was a surprise request. But again, this is a month ago. Things weren't going real well a month ago. I said, Don, I've been praying that way for months. And the hard part for me is, and it's nowhere near as hard as it is for you, it doesn't look like the Lord's answering that. Looks like he said no to that. And that stinks. Pure and simple, that just stinks. I'd love to see you get out and tear around your car again. But I said, Don, you've been a real example to me of someone that's lost their freedom and lost their mobility. And I know you have your cranky moments, everybody does, but you've been a gracious guy. He didn't complain to me about it, you know. If he was angry with God, he did it more silently or with his family. He didn't do it with me. But he talked pretty openly about what he was feeling and what he was going through and his concerns. Well, I got to tell you, the prayer is answered. It was delayed, but it was answered. Donnie's walking again. And who knows what they've got for golf carts in heaven, but none of them are safe. They will be well used probably by the time we get there. Pray that I can walk again. Don, you're walking. You're going. I want to share a couple scriptures. And I've shared these before at other funerals. To me, they've never lost their meaning. They only maybe increase in the energy that's contained in these scriptures. Because this isn't just a story. I believe the Bible literally is the inspired word of God, and it's our communication from heaven how to get to heaven. And this story is from the Gospel of John. Some of you are familiar with it, maybe some of you aren't, but Jesus was close friends with a family. It was two sisters and a brother, Mary and Martha and Lazarus. You know, they were friends. Don was my friend. And Jesus knew that Lazarus was sick, and Jesus knew that Lazarus was dying, and he delayed going to their home. He was some distance away in Israel. He delayed going to their home on purpose. He knew that Lazarus would die. So we jump into the story here. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Excuse me. Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus said to her these words, which she believed, "Your brother will rise again." And Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." And then Jesus said these words, and I'm so grateful John captured them, so we've had them for these last two millennia, because these are some of the most powerful words I've ever read or heard. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said, "Yes, Lord, I believe you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world." Now, Don has died in the physical sense, but because he simply puts in his faith as Jesus' Savior, then he lives on in heaven. And Jesus said this later on, and John has the words. We find it, if you were to look it up, in John chapter 14, where he writes, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you." And this is what's neat. "I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. And you know the way to the place I'm going." And yea, Thomas, he says, "Lord, we don't know where you're going. How do we know the way?" And Jesus said words that are not unlike the words he said to Martha after Lazarus had died. He said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." You know, Don was a gift giver. Some of you received many gifts from him. He loved giving gifts. "My Harley's downstairs. The batteries may go dead, but, you know, that's one of my special memories is my Harley from Don." He gave gifts. God offers us the gift of eternal life, but just like me and my Harley, I had to receive it from him. We have to receive the gift of eternal life. Don did that. You can do that too. He's a Savior. He's here. Jesus wants us all to be in heaven with Don and other loved ones. Don found the way. Jesus said, "I am the way." It's open for all of us too. We just receive the gift. I know the family has a very special sense of gratitude to the nurses that came for these months in the home, and he became friends with two of them, and I heard yesterday he'd say to each one of them, "You're my favorite." He knew how to play that game. "You're my favorite." But they did. They loved Don, and he loved them. From my observation, going in the home a few times, I saw the care that he received, especially from his wife Beverly, from Nate, trying to keep his head out of the fan, from Donna. I know others of you did many things too, but that's just from my observation. I thank you for taking such good care of your husband and dad and grandpa and taking good care of my friend. You guys did an awesome job. I'd like to pray a closing prayer, and then just a little bit of instructions how this will work. When, after I pray, we're going to start the video again, and then we're going to dismiss from the balcony first, and you'll come down the stairs and through the back doors of the chapel. You'll be able to file by and pay your last respects to Don. Then when you go out these doors here, please head on outside. And shortly, we will all be going down the hill, the foot of the hill, the cemetery. That's where we're going to meet down there. So if you want to start walking down there, we invite you to do that. If you'd bow with me, though, we'll close this part of the service in prayer. Lord, it's still hard for me to believe that Don is gone, and I'm sure his family feels that 100 or 1,000 times more than I do. I loved him kidding with me, and I tried to give it back, but I could never do as well as he could. I thank you for the friendship we've had for these last 15, 20 years, and he is missed. But I pray for his family, Lord, at this time, that they in a special way will feel your comfort, your peace in their minds and hearts, your presence right when they need it, when they're feeling the loneliest. You'll come right in there, Lord Jesus, alongside them and say, I'm here. I'm here. Donnie's with me. I'm here. I'm here with you right now. So give them the comfort and peace that they need. And I know in these days and weeks and months ahead, grieving takes time. There's no real shortcuts to this. We go through it, and the more we love someone, the more we do feel it. That's just how it works. So I pray for your strength and courage and comfort. Bless the two as a family. You know, they'll be sharing stories and memories and pictures. Those are beyond price. They're so valuable. Bless us as we all share and support the family. Lord, I pray for Arlene and Betty, as sisters, that you would comfort them at this time. To lose their baby brother is quite a thing, and I pray for your own arms of love, Jesus, to surround them. I pray for his family, his sons and daughters and their spouses, the many grandkids and great-grandkids. Each one had a unique and special relationship with Don, that you would comfort them right where they are, right what they're feeling right now and in the moments to come. Lord, we especially lift up to you, Beverly, that you would literally sustain her and hold her and comfort her and give her your peace. I know both emotionally and physically she has poured out so much, she's pretty exhausted. I pray you will build her up in the days and weeks ahead. You will just pour back into her all that she has poured out in love for her husband. Just fill her back up, Lord, and comfort her and care for her in every single way possible. Just pour out your blessings on her. Lord, as we all say goodbye, we need your help. My prayer for myself, and it's my prayer for all of us, we'd learn to be a little more generous like Don. Don really was a giver. He was a generous guy. That's a wonderful role model for his family, but for all of us too. Help us to put a smile on someone else's face every day. He did for me. That's a great gift. We can learn so much from his life, Lord. Thank you for the assurance of his salvation through your work on the cross, Jesus. It's not that Don was better than somebody else. He was a rascal, and we know it. But Jesus, you died for him just like you died for me. And when we accept your gift of salvation, we are saved. It's as simple as that. Thank you that he received you and he's with you now. Lord, we want to follow in his footsteps for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, if you will wait again to be dismissed, we'll be starting upstairs. So just sit tight and we'll dismiss row by row.
I get first hug.
You're a special lady. You really are. Love you. Man, you got it.